KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available at our website. The Personnel Committee meets on the second Monday of the month at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Hello, welcome to the KBOO Bike Show. I'm your host, Tori Bortman. The past few months, we've been working on a series to highlight people of color in cycling. If you missed it, our August show brought us Kianda McQuarters from Black Girls Do Bike. And in September, my co-hosts Alon Robb and April Streeter dove into the history of black bodies on bikes, both in the United States and in the UK. This month, we've set out to explore what the modern experience is like for black people on bikes, particularly from the perspective of Portland, Oregon. Though we like to think of ourselves as a bastion of equity and diversity as well as cycling, we're actually home to some of the most deeply rooted systemic racism of anywhere in the country. That racism is still alive and well today and affects where and how people of color live and move in our city. Today's guest, Andrew Campbell, is the Physical Activity Health Promotion Specialist for the Racial and Ethnic Community Approaches to Health Program for the Multnomah County Health Department, which includes the City of Portland and much of the surrounding metro area. The Racial and Ethnic Community Approaches to Health Program is a five-year grant from 2018 to 2023 awarded to the Multnomah County Health Department from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which works to improve health equity in chronic disease for at least 75% of the local African American and Black community. Andrew Campbell is a Portland native who grew up in Inner North and Northeast. He obtained his bachelor's in science in psychology and sociology from Tuskegee University and his master's of science in sports psychology from the University of Tennessee. His work in various fields over the past 10 years has allowed him to improve the health of people and communities by creating equitable, healthful, efficient, and inclusive spaces now and for the future. He is joining us today to tell us more about his work in the Racial and Ethnic Community Approaches to Health Program, his own experiences working outreach with the Black community here, as well as his experiences as walking, riding, and living as a Black man in Portland, Oregon. Andrew Campbell, welcome to the KBOO Bike Show.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So you're the Physical Health Promotion Policy Specialist for the Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health Program in Multnomah County, where Portland, Oregon is located. Can you describe to us, in your own words, what the program is trying to accomplish and what you've particularly been focusing on as the Physical Activity Promotion Policy Specialist?
Yes, so Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health is a program that collaborates with its like multi-sectional partners to implement three primary strategies, which is nutrition, community and clinical linkage, and minds if physical activity and built environment. And what that entails is really identifying policy and system and environmental improvements to really redress chronic diseases and health disparities that burden among the Black and African immigrant and refugees community, having like infants, youth, adults, and elderly. So we really hit like
that's a lot.
Yeah. So it is a lot, but like that's our main goal, is to really reduce health the disparities within the Black community through like built environment, because the and how the built environment reinforce positive ways to reinforce positive ways of physical activity or don't. Like, for example, if a neighborhood has sidewalks, maybe people will walk more because they have sidewalks. If they don't have sidewalks, maybe people won't walk more.
Well, because they're not likely people won't walk more.
So that's kind of like
well, our, and also safe cross.
Yes. And so we really want to, like, I really focus on how, like, the built environment reinforce safety for people to be more physically active in their community, in their neighborhood, to help reduce health disparities and increase better health behavior and health outcomes.
So you said you partner with some other organizations. Who are your partnerships with? How do you work together to get to these outcomes?
Yes, so a lot of my Pacific strategy partners are some public entities and also nonprofits that are like culturally specific nonprofits. So for example, a few of our partners is like City of Gresham and like Beyond Black is one, Imagine Black is another one, Mud.
Sorry to interrupt you. Can you give me an example of how you work with one of those entities to get to the goals?
Yes. So one example is a few years ago we've funded and developed City of Gresham's first active transportation plan for the city. So we partner with City of Gresham, and then we partner with these nonprofits like Beyond Black and Play Grow Learn, and really help with the community engagement on what areas in City of Gresham needs to improve to make their infrastructure safer for Black people to feel more safe to bike in City of Gresham. So we've done a lot of like case studies and like workshops where we have these conversations, and that helped develop the 2018 City of Gresham Active Transportation Plan. Because within transportation planning, community engagement is one of the phases where they really need to engage the community so the plans can look like what the community wants. And that's really one of my main goals as well, is to really help bridge that.
Well, first of all, I'm shocked that only a couple years ago did the City of Gresham start having first active transportation plan, but I'm glad to hear that they've got it rolling. But also, yeah, I feel like that's something Portland has not, and I'm sure many other cities haven't done the best job of, is really having that community engagement. It's your city, literally. We're your government, here to serve you. What do you want it to look like?
Exactly. And that's one of the main keys and main like strategies that I do with my position, is really help bridge that and really get more of the Black community's input and voice on current and future transportation or urban development plans.
Was there anything in one of those maybe community conversations that you either found surprising or interesting that you maybe you or the city was thinking about fixing something one way, but the community was like, no, I want it, we prefer it like this? Has that come up at all?
Yeah, you do have those conversations where sometimes the community's feedback could influence a design or plan, but then at times there's sometimes when the feedback may not show what the community wants because they already have the project was already funded to look like a certain way, and since it's already funded a certain way, it may not show what the community wants, and that times that kind of what frustrates community a lot, because they just feel like, you know, you're asking for my input, but you're not really going to use it. You're just kind of like, you know, just trying to build awareness of the project compared to just trying to really authentically engage us earlier. So when you engage earlier, then you can really the outcome of the product or design will really reflect what the community wants. So to answer your question, is really like I have seen that like debate within the community and like government trying to explain how the protocol and system work and operates. And yes, it is an interesting position to be in, because it's like, you know, I'm always just being that bridge.
We're here with Andrew Campbell, physical activity health promotion policy specialist for the racial and ethnic approaches to community health program for the Multnomah County Health Department, and you are tuned into the KBOO Bike Show. So would you share with us a little bit of your journey and your education about how you came to this position? Because it's a fascinating position. Obviously, it's new, so it's not like something you can just go to school for. So how did you end up there?
Yeah, so I have an educational background in mental and physical health. So my undergrad is in psychology and sociology from Tuskegee University, and my master's is in sports psychology from University of Tennessee. And I was gone from Portland for about 9 years after high school. So it's like, once I moved back about 5 years ago, I just really wanted to, you know, find ways to really give back to the community that I'm from. So I thought working for my department is a great way, you know, to really give back and serve the community that really just helped raise me. So I got into this journey due to my, like, I believe my background within just a holistic approach of health, and really understanding how the environment impacts an individual and how that individual can cope and manage from the environment, but then also how that individual impacts the environment too. So having that two-way understanding, I believe, is very like valuable and kind of like help me get into the position that I'm in.
And did you start with the health department in this position, or were you working for Multnomah County before this position existed?
Yeah, I was working with Multnomah County for a few years before this position existed. I did a lot of work within the schools.
Oh, great.
Of Multnomah County. And worked a lot with athletes about like character development and like healthy masculinity and things. So once this came out, it just really kind of like just blended in and really helped gel what my background is, because I just have this holistic view on what health is and really how people can feel more safer within an environment, and how can that built environment really impact or reinforce safety. And being in my position in the transportation field, there's a lot of discussion on like, oh, how can we make pedestrians feel more safer, especially black and brown people?
Yeah, it's interesting. There's something that really resonates with me about your background in sports, in psychology, in sports psychology. When I think sports psychology, I think, oh, we're talking about the athletes who are using psychology to have better results. But you're kind of taking that to a different level of, which is fantastic. My mind's kind of blown of how, just looping in how our environment affects us, but how we can also, we have some power and some control to affect our environment, and how those two things, we have some control of our environment, but our environment has a lot more control over us than we often realize or even acknowledge. And bringing those things together and having people really be able to discuss them and think about them is, it's incredible. I mean, I think it's something that is part of the discussion of what's going on in the world right now, and it definitely applies to transportation and just physical activity. A few minutes ago, before the interview, you and I were chatting about what kind of physical activity you like to do right now, and you were saying, well, of course, because of the pandemic, you're kind of limited. Can you talk a little bit more about what you like to do for physical activity, because you are kind of limited right now, but also how the environment you're in affects the parameters of what you can do?
Yeah, so currently, like some of the physical activity I do is like home workouts. If it's within the house, or if I want some fresh air, and if it's nice, I go outside and go for walks or jogs within within my neighborhood, or even bike. So this is really like some of the ways that I do kind of get my physical activity in that time. I may even do like some virtual exercises or workouts with folks, so just really get some of my friends and family more involved to just get moving.
Do you feel like that community is, both for yourself and other people, is pretty integral to get moving and keep moving?
Yeah, I would say it's both. Like, yeah, there's energy and there's a lot of willingness to just really like get moving, especially if people been not moving for the past few weeks or months, so they kind of feel like guilty at times, like, oh yeah, I haven't did this in a while. So that may like motivate them too. But then also I feel like when people just get asked or just encouraged to, hey, do you want to join me in doing something? Then that kind of like, oh yeah, I would like to, because I don't want to do it by myself. It's good to have someone else doing it with me. And I think when you have that peer-to-peer workout partner, or if it's like virtually, or people doing the same thing, that can really motivate folks to keep on moving and getting their physical activity in.
Your team at the Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health is 3 years into the 5-year grant from the Centers for Disease Control for this program. How do you think you're meeting your goals? And, speaking of the pandemic, have your goals changed at all, or have you had to kind of change your paths to them because of the pandemic and the way we are now? Either, well, we can, I'm trying hard not to see it as being limited, but it's a limitation from the way we have been living. So has that changed much?
Well, I fulfill that our goals is pretty the same, which is really continue to make progress and focus and committed on reducing chronic disease and health disparities within the Black community. Like, that will always be our goal, and we do that with policy, system, and environmental changes. But the approaches, obviously, due to the pandemic, it has shifted a bit. As in, like, things are more like virtual now compared to having group meetings physically, and we just do everything virtually. And then also we have to do a lot of my like workshops virtually, and I attend a lot of like transportation meetings and stuff. Everything's just virtual. However, my involvement still helps bring more of a racial health equity to certain transportation plans. Because in the transportation field and the world, if the world and stuff is still moving on, and there's still like things, the deliverables that everyone is trying to achieve and do. So we continue to be involved. It's just the involvement is just a little bit different despite a lot of the challenges. But we've seen some good outcomes and good ways where we've adapted to the current society, this digital society, and really been getting some good feedback from the community.
You gave me an example earlier about the city of Gresham. Do you have another example of a good outcome that's come from some of the work you've been doing?
Yeah, so one of the like key goals I've been one of the key goals is really, again, I keep continuing to say that we want more Black people to be involved with transportation and urban development plans. And how we are doing that is building awareness on like certain committees that they can serve or attend to really bring those bring the Black concerns and voice within these decision making tables. An example of this is I've started a Black transportation workshop, and I know it was one, what was the article, I believe, in the Portland Bike newspaper. Yeah, the Bike Portland one about the Black transportation workshop. And I wanted to do everything in person pre-COVID, but during the COVID we had to do everything virtual. So during this like last few months, I hosted three workshops, everything, really built the awareness on like the history of transportation, you know, and how it kind of modeled, well, it did model systematic racism through urban planning and, you know, redlining and how gentrification all comes along and play about. And then also I built the awareness of how the built environment impact our health. So really showing like certain data and maps on like certain, how certain zip codes have better health outcomes than others. And then lastly, I built the awareness of opportunities for people to be more involved within City of Portland, ODOT, Metro, within the transportation on public committees that people can be involved. And I feel it's a good success because a lot of people don't know how to find those these. And within the workshops, I had about 70-ish people attend total. And wow. We've and they came from the predominantly of the attendees was Black and brown people, and they came from a wide range of backgrounds, from like just community members, but then we had like transportation planners and environmental expert, like environmental justice advocates, that really was in tune with the workshop and really enjoyed being involved in it. So that's kind of like one of the ways where we've, where I've like adjusted the work, making more virtual, and then also just building the awareness of like continue to get the community engagement involved with future transportation and urban design or urban development planning.
We're here with Andrew Campbell, physical activity health promotion policy specialist for the racial and ethnic approaches to community health program for the Multnomah County Health Department. We've been talking a lot about his work as the physical activity health promotion policy specialist and how some of the workshops that he has done in the past few months have had to change because of the pandemic, but also how they've maybe even got hit a broader, do you feel like maybe they've hit a broader audience because they've been virtual?
Yeah, I would say at times due to things being more virtual, it could make it the access a little bit easier to just attend things since people don't have to commute to a physical space. They can just, you know, go use their phone or laptop to just engage virtually. So.
Mm-hmm. And then one of your goals of the program is to address chronic disease burden and disparities. What are some of the disparities that you see in Portland?
Yeah, so a few disparities that we see. So with the county, we discuss is the 10 leading causes of death within Multnomah County. And that goes from like cancer, heart disease, chronic lower respiratory things, diabetes, hypertension. Those things are really very common, and some of the health disparities within Multnomah County, and is like part of the 10 leading causes of death within the county. And we really focus in on how to reduce those by really looking at the social determinants of health, which is, you know, how does your built environment and your health care and your economic stability and education and social cohesion all play an influence within our health outcome. And yeah, those is kind of like really some of the health concerns and disparities within Portland and within the county.
And is that mostly for Black and African American people?
Death within the county was for demographics, but specifically within the Black community, we see a very high rate of diabetes and hypertension, or even like pre-diabetic as well, which could which the data could get better if people, you know, eat certain things, eat right, or eat healthier choices, and then also get some physical activity as well. But we always put the focus on how the system can make and create a healthier environment for people that live in that neighborhood or zip code. And that's why one of my key focuses on like how could the zip codes where Black people live have better health outcomes.
I would love to come back to that in a moment. We are here with Andrew Campbell, physical activity health promotion policy specialist for the racial and ethnic approaches to community health program for Multnomah County Health Department. You are listening to the KBOO Bike Show. I'm your host, Tori Bortman, and we'll be back in just a short moment after this quick break with more from Andrew Campbell.
Welcome
back to the KBOO Bike Show. I'm your host, Tori Bortman, and we're here with Andrew Campbell, Physical Activity Health Promotion Policy Specialist for the Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health Program for the Multnomah County Health Department. We were just talking with Andrew about chronic disease burden and disparities. And Andrew, I'd like to ask you, the infrastructure of our streets and buildings and how spaces are designed make a huge difference in how people are able to exercise or use transportation. Can you give us some examples of the disparities you've encountered in Portland or even other places you've lived or worked?
It's really, you know, this when I read this question, I was just thinking about like zip codes and really how place really matters. You know, when you look at a zip code, you find a location where there's accessibility to like the needs that you want, like a grocery store, if it's a healthy grocery store or organic one or not. If it has sidewalks, if it has bike lanes, if it has trees around you to make it more greenery and just more healthier, just give that good fresh air, that because trees really is good for air quality and reduces air pollution. Those are like even within the Black Transportation Workshop, I do build awareness of like disparities within Multnomah County. And within Multnomah County, we see a lot of disparities. Health disparities is higher in east of 205, East Portland, East County. And it's due to not having as many trees out in East Portland or East County, like the inner parts of the city, and or there's more major corridors out in East Portland, East County, which means, you know, if there's more cars traveling through people's communities, it will impact the air quality and air pollution, which will influence the 10 leading causes of death that I mentioned earlier, of like you know, asthma and other chronic respiratory diseases that happen. So those are just really like examples of like, you know, how a zip code, it's sad that every zip code don't is the same, as in they, it's sad that a lot of the zip codes do not make better health outcomes equitable for everyone. That if one area could have a better health outcome than the other, compared to just, we want to, at least with reach the racial and ethnic approaches for community health, we really again focus on how the zip codes where the Black community live within Multnomah County, how can we influence policies and systems and environmental changes to help make health outcomes better, so Black bodies can live a longer life in their communities where they're at without being displaced. You really try to put the focus on investing, having public entities and private entities to really invest in these communities and zip codes without displacing them, so they can have better health outcomes.
Your background very much is in psychology, and you've talked a lot about the physical, like diabetes, hypertension, the physical things that can happen to people. But for me personally, I also feel a huge psychological effect if I'm in a place with more trees, if I'm in a place where I feel like my body can move freely and I'm safe. There's a physical, mental reaction of the cortisol levels in my body are going to be better if I'm in a place that feels safer. You talked a lot at the beginning of the show about safety. So do you in your workshops hit on some of the psychological aspects of it? And if not, do you see those psychological aspects also being a part of the disparities?
Yeah, and that's just really hit a key thing, as in the place where we breathe our air, you know, it influences our mind because we're inhaling this air. If it's quality, great air, it really has a good psychological impact on us. And if we inhale unhealthy air, we may not feel that great compared to good fresh air. So within these workshops, again, I do hit on some get the audience involved on their opinions on how safety, what safety would look like to them. And by like doing live polling within like virtual live polling or doing pre and post surveys, because I really want to know from the community, especially the Black and Brown community, on what could a system do to make the environment safer for them. And when they feel safe, and how does it feel when they are safe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that it's huge. I mean, just basic safety. Speaking of which, I know you speak mostly and work with mostly Black people and people of color. Portland, Oregon probably has more Black Lives Matter signs per capita than anywhere else in the country. And at last estimate, our population is about 6% Black. Many white and a few Black residents have no idea of the systemic laws, some of them you mentioned earlier, including the state constitution that banned all Black people from even living here when we started as a state, to the later policies of redlining and using eminent domain to force Black people from their homes and businesses to build Interstate 5 and what is currently the Legacy Emanuel Hospital Complex in the former heart of the thriving Black Community Business District of Portland, and how all of that resulted in destroying thriving Black lives, culture, and community, which, again, that comes back to our psychology of feeling safe and feeling part of a community. But what can white people do to, besides a Black Lives Matter sign, which doesn't honestly do much, truly support and help Black lives thrive? And especially when it comes to transportation and cycling, because most of the time, if we look at those zip codes, it's white people in the zip code. How do we help? How do I, as a white person, help?
Yeah, and I feel this is really a great question. Even moving back to Portland, I was like, dang, just all these signs.
They're everywhere.
Especially in like the gentrification area. So like I grew up in all of the gentrification areas, and it just really hit home. It's like, dang, you have a sign, but what are you really doing to make a sustainable change? And I think it's like intentional acknowledgement is really key. It's like you have a sign, but are you really intentional within your actions that Black Lives Matter, or are you just doing a sign so you can look cool, you know, or show that you are modeling racial equity? I think really being an advocate and activist for racial and ethnic health disparities, and like that can, white people can do that in the spaces that they're in. Like, I'm involved with a lot of transportation and pedestrian and bicycling committees, and they're very white. So I'm sure the white people may have, hopefully, some Black friends that they can invite to these committees to really uplift and share their concerns, and hopefully have a sustainable influence on like the health disparities. I think too, like, continue to like encourage to always put like some type of racial equity lens on like certain policies and decision making processes. Look at who's missing. You need to get those people involved compared to assuming that you know the answers. Mm-hmm. Like, the people that know the answers for black people would be black people. Just like for people that know how to know the answers, like for white people, if people want to resolve answers for white people, you would believe white people will be coming up with those answers. So it's just kind of like the same thing with just black folks. And I just really believe though, like, if white folks really acknowledge and support the businesses that black people own, because there are businesses in Monoma County that black people own and are doing good. So that's a way too where white folks can be like, oh, compared to having this Black Lives Matter sign, my actions is showing that they really matter, because I'm at these transportation committees inviting people to attend to share their concerns, and or I'm at these public hearings within city council or the county commissioners advocating for the public entities to invest in communities of colors, compared to just having the sign out in the yard and they're just going by their day within a gentrification area thinking that they've been there first, when it's like, when you know the history of the neighborhood, you can really see how seeing those signs all the time in gentrification areas could really trigger black people, especially black Portlanders that's grew up in certain areas. So I know I gave a lot. I just think, you know, they could be having an intentional acknowledgement to really get black lives involved with transportation and urban development committees. Advocate for them by making sure public entities invest in the zip codes where black communities currently live in, not where the zip codes where they've been gentrified at.
We're here with Andrew Campbell, Physical Activity Health Promotion Policy Specialist for the Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health Program for Multnomah County Health Department. Andrew Campbell is just giving an excellent answer on how white people can help truly support and help black lives thrive. I'm curious that you attended, you said you were out of Portland for about 9 years. You went to Tuskegee University in Alabama. You got your undergrad in, I think you said, Tennessee? Is that right? Where was your undergrad from?
Yeah, my undergrad was from Tuskegee University.
Oh, and then
my master's is at University of Tennessee. Yeah.
Okay. So those are definitely places where I'd say there's more than 6% black people. Was there a difference there, and did you feel a difference while you lived there, and how black bodies were able, in your own personal experience, to move around as compared to how people are able to move around in Portland?
Yeah, so when I was thinking about this question, I was thinking like moving around as in like transportation. So in regards of the transportation context, Tuskegee University is a historical black college and university. So within the HBCU, you see nothing but black and brown people from a wide range of different backgrounds. Tuskegee University is a private HBCU too, so it was just, you know, it's just good to see a lot of black and brown bodies in just in one area. That reinforce that safety too, because you know everyone's look the same and everyone have good positive vibes and everyone is there at the college university to achieve education, but getting an education in a fun way too. So I think with having an environment and that brings that vibe to make the students more comfortable to like bike or walk throughout the campus, to move around, and the infrastructure was there for was built for that on the campus. However, outside of the campus though, Tuskegee and Alabama in general, they really don't have good infrastructure for biking. There's not too many bike lanes and no like protected bike lanes that I've seen when I was down there. So that was much different from Portland, because Portland, you know, is very, have a lot of bike lanes and sidewalks and stuff. And then they're really good with public transportation. Down there in Alabama, the public transportation system is nothing near to Portland, to TriMet public transportation. So I really can really notice that within Tuskegee and within Alabama, like how actually why black bodies too use cars majority to move around, because the built environment is not really built for walking or biking, and everything's pretty far from one place to the other, because Tuskegee's a little town.
Yeah,
royal little town. It's not like a major metropolitan city, so I think that too brings that awareness of like kind of like why people drove more too. And then when I was reviewing this question too, I was thinking about how black bodies move within economic mobility. And I feel like being in an environment with you see nothing but black and brown professionals too. Like I have all my professors was black, which was very rare in Portland. You don't see too many black teachers, you know. In addition to, I've seen a lot of black doctors and veterinarians and like police officers and medical things, and I can go on and on, and that don't really, you don't see that often within Portland. There's a lot more tokenism that happen in Portland when it comes to black bodies at times. So down south, it's not really too much of that tokenism, because it's just more common for black bodies to be more economically successful. And also there's a way more, there's a lot of history that goes into the south too of why there's just more black percentages within the south, because just as you said, a lot of Oregon laws prohibited black people to even move here for a long duration of time, which influenced why there's only about 6% here compared to Alabama and Tennessee and us in the South.
Absolutely. So we're here with Andrew Campbell, Physical Activity Health Promotion Policy Specialist for the Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health Program for the Multnomah County Health Department. We're getting towards the end of our show, but I would like to ask one more question. So cycling, as well as running, as well as just transportation in general, it's a power to be free and move freely. Do you feel like Portland truly has, and it sounds, I'm going to guess the answer is no, but truly has, applies this to black bodies in the way that, that Portland is right this moment? And if not, how can we change it so that cycling, running, getting to the grocery store is a freedom? And how do we, I think to get back to what, when you opened the show, you talked about safety. How do we make Portland a safer place for black bodies?
Yeah, I mean, it's like we've heard a lot of outcries and sadly too many like hashtags of how black bodies are injured and killed while simply just walking or biking, slightly fed from the store or just jogging around in their neighborhood. And there's a lot of data that shows, how traffic reinforcement and death and injury have it relates to like walking and biking. So it's kind of, it's whilst seeing that we really see how the difference of what like moving freely is and who can really do it. I know within a PBOS or Walking While Black report a few
And
years.
PBOT is the, just for our listeners, is
Oh,
the
I'm sorry.
Portland Bureau of Transportation. That's okay.
Yes, I'm sorry. But yeah, the Portland Bureau of Transportation Walking While Black report, it shows like black men stands 30 more percent more time longer at the crosswalk than white and counterparts. So you can see that bias behavior within drivers not letting black or brown skin tone cross. I think one thing that can really truly change is just really having more African Americans and African immigrant and refugees communities on transportation and urban development committees. And getting more involvement on public committees is one of the sustainable ways to really change the narrative of, yeah, it can just really change the narrative of what the question that actually asks. Because right now, there's not many black and brown people on these committees, or maybe none at all. So the involvement needs to be there. And also, I feel like people in suburban neighborhoods just need to check their own implicit biases on their expectations of who should live in their area. It's like you can have a black successful doctor living in a great neighborhood, but the neighbors may think they're not a doctor.
There's a lot of assumptions and implicit biases. When it comes to, just from my own personal experience, I know I was, I think I read in another article years ago about the fact that people don't stop for people of black or brown skin in crosswalks. And fully owning it, once I became aware of that, I realized I was doing it. Didn't even know I was doing it, and I was doing it. And that's something I've had to actually mentally work on to make a change, to see that my own bias as a white person is I'm not seeing black and brown bodies the same as everyone else. And that's so messed up, but that, okay, acknowledged. Now, how do we fix it? How do I make the change myself? So I am so glad you're working on this. We've been here with Andrew Campbell, physical activity health promotion policy specialist for the Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health Program for the Multnomah County Health Department. Andrew Campbell, can you tell us if people want to know more about the program or get involved with your workshops, how can they find you?
Yeah, so people can email me at andrew.campbell at moco.us, which moco is like MULTCO. And then, or also just we have a Reach Facebook page, so people can just type in and on the Google like Reach.
In all capital letters, yeah.
Yeah, just Reach and then like Facebook, and I'm sure it will pop up. And also, we have a Multnomah County website as well where people can give more information on it about the Reach program, which is, racial and ethnic approaches for to community health. And that website is just MULTCO, MULTCO.US /reach, just reach.
And we will have links to those websites and some information on how to contact Andrew on our own KBOO Bike Show Facebook page after the show. So look for that, please. And Andrew Campbell, thank you so much for coming on, spending your time with us today. Thank you for doing the excellent work that you're doing with the county and just in your life with helping more people be involved with racial disparity and helping really create some equity where it's really lacking.
Yeah, thanks again for having me, and I hope this information was helpful, and I hope it just motivate everyone to just really support Black and brown businesses and really get Black people more involved with public committees. We need more voices.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You've been listening to the KBOO Bike Show, broadcast from the KBOO studios in Portland, Oregon, on the first Wednesday of every month. Thank you again to Andrew Campbell for joining us today. We'll have links to the racial and ethnic community approaches to health programs and Andrew Campbell's contact info on our Facebook page. Podcasts are on iTunes, and all past episodes are generously archived at bikeshow.portlandtransport.com. The Bike Show is produced by myself, April Streeter, and Alon Robb. We'd like to thank our web host, Chris Smith, as well as our editor, Josh Hetrick. If you have comments, questions, or show ideas, The Bike Show would love to hear from you. You can contact us on Facebook at our Twitter handle at KBOO Bike Show or email us through the KBOO website. We'll be back next month with more news and views from the bike world. Until then, make it a great day and keep riding your bike.
Portland.
KBOO is honored to be chosen for Willamette Week's Give Guide. Give Guide handpicked Portland's most impactful nonprofits to help you do good this giving season. You can do good supporting KBOO's work, amplifying the